The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Your Bible, if you would please go back as we looked just a moment ago, and let's see this tonight, if we could. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, where the Bible says, "And that they may recover themselves," it says, "out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." And let's talk tonight about don't forget to rebound. Don't forget to rebound. As we think about that word recover, you'll see that one of the definitions that you will find about recovering is to rebound. When I think of rebounding, I think of basketball. And I think of course, different ones that just need to rebound. My brother was very good at sports. All of us were athletically inclined, but my brother was just one that had colleges searching and wanting him. He was good at basketball, and he was good at football. And the only man that I know that did this at North Carroll High School in Hampstead, Maryland, where I went to high school, was Dave. And he was known as Big 42. And he had his jersey. It's still there today. It's reserved there on display. And he was Big 42 in basketball, and he was called Big 42 in football. He was the only one that they allowed to keep the same number in both sports. And but very good, very, very good. He knew how to take and play basketball very well, had some college scholarships offered to him for that purpose and also for football. So he was very, very athletic. And as I was thinking about him this week, I thought, wouldn't it be good if we would learn a scriptural principle when it comes to somebody rebounding in their Christian life? And as we see this verse right here, the Bible says that they may recover themselves. They may recover themselves. The Bible says, out of the snare of the devil, who have taken captive by him at his will. And I see many Christians across the land that start off good, but then they falter and fail and never rebound. I see people that take a shot, crash, if you would please, the board, never rebound to shoot again. I see people that used to be but are no more. I see Sunday school teachers that used to teach but teach no more. Bus captains that used to be bus captains but are bus captains no more. People that used to sing in church services, just like you heard a moment ago, that do not sing in church services anymore. Yea, people that even used to be faithful to church. I'm talking about just attending. I'm talking about just coming and taking up their 18 inches or 18 inches plus a pew. I'm talking about people that used to come, and they would always be on time, but now they're always late. And they used to come to all the services, but now they consider themselves blessing God if they happen to show up at all. I'm saying that Christians need to learn what it is to rebound. Husbands, all of a sudden, that go through marital distress, learn to rebound. Wives that go through marital distress, learn to rebound. Those that, if you would please, that have a hard time lifting themselves out of diverse circumstances, need to learn to rebound. Those that are failing in business, those that have a broken down car, those that have a house that is lying in waste, those, if you will, tonight that has had a death that has hit their family, learn to rebound. Billy Sunday was a great preacher in my thinking. My grandmother the adopted grandmother that I speak so well of, the one that raised me for 6 years, walked down a sawdust trail in 1919 in Baltimore City, Maryland, and shook the hand of a Billy Sunday and received Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, wait a minute. There was a time when Billy Sunday died, but yet Ma Sunday continued to be able to travel the land, speak in churches, if you will, as a guest to speak to ladies and even give her testimony in church meetings. And she rebounded and lived 30 years past the life of a Billy Sunday. You think about John O. Rice. John O. Rice died, but there was a Mrs. Rice that outlived him. She recovered. She was able to rebound. You think about a John Bunyan John Bunyan preached on the streets and he was arrested. They said, if you do not take a license, you cannot preach on the street. He said, I refuse to take the license. His own daughter came down, and his daughter was a blind little girl. She couldn't see, and she came down to the prison door and begged him, said, Daddy, please, please, just tell them that you won't preach, and they'll let you out of prison. He said, honey, child, I'll tell you for sure that if they let me out tonight, I'll be preaching on the streets tomorrow morning. He said, I've got to do that. Of course, you know, he wrote the Pilgrim's Progress on the top, they say, of bottle stop caps. But what did he do? He rebounded. Fanny Crosby was born. And when she was born blind. But yet, God used her to write such songs as Blessed Assurance and many songs that are near and dear to your heart, found in your hymn book. Fanny Crosby was the one that God used to pen them. Now, what happened? She rebounded. You think about Joseph. Joseph was persecuted, hated by his brothers, sold into bondage. But yet he decided that he was going to rebound. You think about Peter that denied the Lord, denied the faith, denied the church, denied the disciples, but yet only 50-some days after that preached the greatest sermon that we know of, having such a great amount of people saved. What did he do? He rebounded. You think about Abraham, a great leader, lost his faith, however, went down to Egypt, took a woman by the name of Hagar, and that's where all the trouble began. But you understand that there was a man by the name of Abraham that did rebound. You think about Jacob. Jacob was backslidden, and after he stole his brother's birthright, if you will, and he ran 500 miles away, if you would, in the opposite direction, if you will, running from the will of God, but yet there was a day then Jacob did rebound. You think about John Mark. John Mark in the Bible, of course, he was scared, perhaps, during that first missionary journey. We're not right sure about all that took place, but we know that he decided to come off the field. But yet there was a day when John Mark rebounded, and you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your Bible. We understand that God uses people that rebound. Mark Twain said this, that he went bankrupt 8 times in a row before it went well with him. There's Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln failed 18 times before he became the 16th president of the United States. He knew something about rebounding. There was Jonah. Jonah went down, and of course you know, as we studied the book of Jonah not too long ago in our Sunday school, that Jonah, when he decided to run from the will of God, the Bible talks about how he went down to Joppa, and then he paid the fare thereof and went down to the belly of the ship. And then being cast overboard, went down to the belly of the whale. And when you run from God and you run from the presence of God, it's always a downward spiral turn. And the Bible says that he paid the price thereof, the fare thereof. So why is it important in your life and in my life to rebound? How is it that we can practice this thing that is called rebounding? What does it take? What does it take for an Esther, if you would please, that married a heathen but yet did rebound? What does it take, if you would please, of a Micah that started on the bottom but yet did rebound? What does it take of a Jonah that decided to run from the will of God but yet found himself in a rebounding state and found himself being used of God in a greater capacity than he ever thought he'd ever be used? What does it take, if you would please, for a big mouth Peter to open his mouth many times at the wrong time but yet to be used of God, using the same instrument that got him in trouble, to be able to accomplish the will of God in a greater fashion whereby many thousands would come to know Christ as Savior? What does it take? Let me give you a couple observations tonight. Statement number one, practice. Practice. Anybody that knows anything, okay, Ahi, come up here if you will. And Ahi knows basketball. I don't know of a guy that I've ever seen play basketball that if I was playing basketball, I'd be afraid of. But Ahi, I mean, the guy knows how to bounce the ball, and he knows how to dribble for us a little bit, give us a little bit of exposition here, and he knows how to bounce the ball, and he knows how to be able to shoot the ball. I've come up here when our gym was not an auditorium. I've come up here on a Saturday night And we allowed the guys that would go soul winning. Now we only allowed the soul winning crowd to come because we think you ought to earn it. And so the soul winning crowd would come up on a Saturday night. And boy, they come up. I'd come up here. I watched this young man play basketball sometime. And I thought, oh, I don't want to get in his way. Because he means business. I mean, when he would see the basketball backboard, he was going to crash it. He was going to put it in. And it didn't matter who was in the way. I promise you, he is coming through. I mean, that's just the way it is. And it didn't matter if he bruised your knee or bruised your head. If you're in the way, God bless you. And he didn't play real basketball. He played street ball, by the way. And but now, wait a minute, watch this. And so do it fast, will you? Do it fast. You're out of practice. And so, all right. And now watch this. Now, wait a minute. All right. Now I'm saying this. I'm saying that when it comes to rebound, it's just like basketball. It's just like basketball. You've got to take the ball. You've got to practice holding the ball. You've got to practice driving the ball. You've got to practice shooting the ball. But when it comes time to missing that which is the basket in your life, it's not over yet. You don't have to worry about saying, well, what if somebody judges me? What if somebody gives up on me? Well, fooey on that. You decide that you're going to rebound. You decide that you're going to get up again. You decide you're going to get that ball again. You decide you're going to drive it again. And by the way, there is no failures in God's service. There's not one. You say, but you understand, I dropped the ball. Then pick it up. But you don't understand, I tripped. Then get up. But you don't understand, people have judged me. Oh, quit. People's going to judge you no matter what you do. And people will judge you no matter what you don't do. I'd rather be judged for trying to do something and fail than to be judged for trying to do nothing. You say, I don't know nothing about soul winning. Well, get out there and try. Well, I'm a preacher and I don't know nothing about preaching. Pick up the book, open your mouth, and let it fly. Thank you. Be seated. Take your ball with you. If you don't mind, I'll use you again. Statement number one, practice rebounding. Practice rebounding. You can have the best training in all the world. By the way, you listen to me. Some dear people that's in this room, you used to be soul winners, but it's been a long time since you passed out a gospel tract. It's been a long time since you cracked open a New Testament and showed a sinner how to be saved. Now, I'm saying that you don't have to be somebody that throws in the towel. You don't have to spend all of your life in the pit of self-pity, but you can get up. You can pick that ball up again. You can drive that ball again. You can go forward again, and I'm saying practice rebounding in your life. Statement number one, you have to practice it. Practice it. Statement number two, stay on the offense. Stay on the offense. Now anybody knows this, that the best rebounding is an it's an offensive, if you would please, rebound. Now, what's that mean? Well, here's what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, where the Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Now, what are you talking about? Well, get yourself a job. You say, well, we have a large church, Pastor. We still need ushers. But, preacher, we have a large church, but we've got a large city. God didn't bring you here by accident. I said this morning, I received a statement the other day that somebody said, and I looked it up, and 10,000 people a month are moving to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. A month. That's a lot of people. Don't run from it. Run to it. God is bringing them here so that we can give them the gospel. Hey, what a privilege. What an honor. What a tremendous responsibility. And so what do? We decide that we're going to stay on the offense. We decide that we're going to get more involved. Ushers can help. We need greeters that's going to help park the cars and parking lot attendants and people singing in the choir. People working in the A Sunday school and the B Sunday school and the A bus routes and the B bus routes and the Spanish department. And oh dear Lord, are we praying for nursery workers? I'm saying you don't have to just sit. You can get up and get. You can get out and serve God. You can make a difference in somebody's life. Look, if I was in a church that was a hellfire, brimstone, soaring, separated, independent, fundamental Baptist church, I wouldn't want to come to church and just sit around. I'd want to get involved and do something for God. Let God use you. By the way, I'd rather be somebody that's red in the face and sweaty than sitting around and being dead and in dry duck. All dead things float. And they float with the current. It takes something that's not dead to swim against the current. This world is dead. It's floating the wrong direction. Don't get on board with its music. Don't get on board with its dress standards. Don't get on board with the things that are taking you the wrong direction. Just decide you'll pick up a ball for God. You'll drive it forward. You'll accomplish things for God and let God use you. I'm statement number one, practice rebounding. Oh, somebody hurt my feelings. I love you. Get over it. Well, somebody stepped on my toes. Well, if they weren't in the way, nobody step on them. But since they were, thank God. You got to suffer for Jesus' sake. Hallelujah. Well, somebody was unkind to me. Then turn the other cheek. Yours, not theirs. But Brother Hiles, many years ago, Brother Hiles used to take, and when somebody was mean to him or did something outlandishly against him, he'd always buy him a Bible. Send him a Bible. Hello? Now, don't underline certain verses in there. You know, Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. Whatever thou doest, do it with all thy might. Make haste. Don't do that. You know, what I would do, though, is I would stay very much on the offense. I would be going after things. I wouldn't be sitting idly by. I wouldn't come to church and have to pinch myself to stay awake. You fellas ought never have to pinch yourself to stay awake. You ought to be shouting amen so much that even your wife won't fall asleep. Statement number one, practice rebounding. Statement number two, stay on the offensive. Statement number three, shoot the ball. Shoot the ball. God has given you a will of God. Shoot the ball. You ever see somebody playing a ball game and you throw them the ball and they don't know what to do with it? I remember when our girls first started volleyball. Oh, it was tremendously bad. Back then, we didn't know that we had a Brother Paliwafiko that was in our midst that played pro. We didn't know that. You know, now we utilize his skills, but we didn't know that back then. But I remember when we first started that volleyball league. I remember that for sure. And boy, that ball would come over the net, which is what a ball is supposed to do. And that ball would come peering over the net. And our girls, our little girls, would see that ball. I'm watching myself. Would see that ball peering, coming over the net. And all of a sudden, then they would duck. They would step aside. I watched one little girl run from it. Now, when you come out to watch our girls play in their volleyball league, and it's all inside the church, and we have enough young people here and college-age young people, we can make up our own leagues. But, you know, when we watch them play, boy, they're going after it. We've been renting a gym that has a cement floor. And, of course, our girls, they have knee pads. They all dress modest and all, but they have knee pads. And I watch these girls, boy, they slide across on those knee pads. And I'm thinking, whoa, where'd that come from? And I watch them dive, and I think, boy, that would hurt a man. You know, and here's this little bitty girl, skinny as a bean pole. And I'm thinking, she broke something. She's not getting up. She gets up and smiles and hits the ball again. All right, now wait a minute. What am I saying? I'm saying this. You get involved with that which is the will of God when it comes to your bus route. You get involved. Don't worry about failing. I think we're so conscientious. What is somebody going to think? Who cares? Well, what if somebody says, well, I could do a job better than you did it. Well, if they're not doing it, does it really matter? I mean, you know, somebody says, well, I tell you what, that's not the way I sold in. Well, okay, that's good. Okay, show me how you're doing it. Well, you know, I just don't. Well, then I'm doing it better than you. Hello. Oh, Curtis Hudson. Nobody criticized Dr. Hudson many years ago when he was the pastor of the Forest Hills Baptist Church, Decatur, Georgia. Nobody criticized him. Nobody criticized him when he was baptizing 4 people a month. Nobody criticized him. But all of a sudden, when he started baptizing 40 people a month, they came out of the woodwork. They started criticizing that dear man up one side and down the other side. And nobody criticized him. Nobody criticized him when he was running 40 in Sunday school. But when he started running 400 in Sunday school, and then after many years, 4,000 in Sunday school, boy, they came out of the woodwork. By the way, I found this out to be true. When I used to go to Asia and I would travel, you know, sometimes in those early years of my life by myself, and I'd go over there and I'd work and we'd see, 500 people saved. Nobody criticized me. But I remember the one year that we went for 5 weeks straight and we saw 26,000 people saved. Boy, I got criticism all over the place. Instead of rejoicing over those that received Christ as Savior, people, some of these guys that don't know their Bible, here's what they do. They'll criticize. They say, well, you know, numbers, numbers, numbers. Duh, there's a whole book called Numbers. Well, you know, they must be in it for the numbers. Well, I'd rather somebody be in it and have numbers than be like you and have nothing. Hello? No, I'm not for a guy just chasing numbers. I think that we ought to have substance to it. I think that every soul ought to be real. I don't think you ought to fill out some convert slip and put a fake name on it. Hello? But isn't it amazing? We live in a day now that people set themselves up as higher critics, and the ones that are higher critics are the ones that you don't find out soul winning. Isn't that amazing? The ones that say they're shouting too loud in church are the ones that aren't faithful to church. Isn't that amazing? Oh, come on. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that there's going to be a time in your life when you're going to have to rebound. I don't care who you are. There's going to be a time in your life when you're not going to be on the spiritual high that you presently are on. There's going to be a time. There's going to be a time in your life when you wake up and you say, I just don't feel like reading that Bible today, and so I'll pick it up tomorrow where I left off the day before. And then the next day rolls around, and I don't feel like reading the Bible today, and so I'll pick it up in a couple of days where I left off a couple of days before. Well, you know, this thing about praying through my prayer journal, it's just, I'm tired today. I mean, everybody deserves a break. I mean, even God. Hello? That's the way we think. And so we back off. And then what happens is we get farther and farther and farther away from God. Listen to me, beloved. And before you know it, you're backslidden. You come to church, but when you come to criticize, you come to critique, and instead of coming and hearing good old-fashioned preaching where your heart is open and your mind is willing and your soul is eager and you're thirsty for the things of God, and before you know it, you sit there and you scorn. I'm saying if you get involved and you serve God, God will bless you and you'll have a hunger for God again. Don't forget to rebound. Statement number one, practice rebounding. Statement number two, stay on the offense. Stay on the offense. Statement number three, shoot the ball. Don't just get the ball and dribble it. Shoot it. Shoot it. Well, there's a better shooter on my team. He doesn't have the ball. You've got the ball. Well, you know, preacher, you know, Brother Yao gave me a responsibility, but if he would have gave it to so-and-so, they could do a better job. He didn't give it to so-and-so. He gave it to you. Well, Brother Bulkley, he gave me the responsibility of teaching a Sunday school class, and I just don't know if I can do it. You can do it if you go to the one that can help you to do it. That is God. Listen to me now. Practice rebounding. Stay on the offense. Listen to me. Shoot the ball. Now follow your shot. Yeah, I watch this. I watch this. Follow the shot. Don't just shoot it with all confidence that you are as good as you think you are, and it's going to go through. Follow it. Shoot the ball and run like it did not go through and get ready to get the rebound. When you get up to preach, get ready to rebound. When you go sowing, you knock on the door and nobody comes to the door. Don't get poochy lip disease. Your bottom lip sagging between your two big toes and you can't walk anymore. Rebound. When all of a sudden you fix dinner, you've been working on it for 2.5 hours, and all of a sudden your husband comes in late without calling. He walks in, gives no excuse, no sugar, honey, sweetheart, I'm sorry I'm late. He comes in, you've been slaving, you've been working, you've been cooking, and he walks through and he says, no, thank you. I grabbed a hamburger on the way home. Do not divorce him. Rebound. Rebound. All of a sudden now, when you as a husband come home and you're tired, your wife does not know what you have been through. You have worked all day by the sweat of your brow so that she could wear that nice blouse that she now wears. Here you come. You're coming in late, exhausted. I mean, she has not a clue what you've been through. You have labored and you have struggled and you have put up with nagging women at your workplace, and you have put up with men that's not getting their jobs done, and man, you're coming in and all you want is your sugar plum to extend her lips 3 inches past her God-given created nose and create that which is a plush suction cup for you to walk into. But no, you come home and she begins to bellyache about this. Where you been? How come you're 2.5 minutes late? Don't you know I've been waiting for you, big boy? You're coming in here and you're prancing in here like you own the place. What do you think? You think that you're the head of the home or something? You come walking in and she says, look, I've had this to-do list for you to do for a long time. It's a honey-do list and I'm ready for you, honey, to do. She flashes in front of your face. It says, what's wrong with you, big boy? Don't you love me? Don't you care? Why are you despising the family? Why are you... Now, don't you dare at any time speak up. Because if you do, you have just lit your... You put yourself in the cannon, lit the fuse, and pop, you're gone. Don't you dare. When your wife is on a rage, now I know that no wife in here is ever on a rage. I know that we have Somebody said, you know, my wife, preacher, reminds me of an angel. She's always up in the air harping about something. One guy went into the kitchen area and said, turn that up. Flip that over. Turn that, turn that, turn that. Push that over there. She got upset. She said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm just reminding you that when I get in the car, that's how you treat me. Now, you may think it, but have enough wisdom that you don't say it. You're going to cause problems in the home. You know, don't do that. She said, I just can't believe you. You're always working. You always. Don't you dare say, well, look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Woman, refrain your tongue. Let me talk to you. That blouse that you have on is why I work like I do. Take it back. You do that. Later on, you'll be calling for the ambulance because she would go into batting practice with one of her heaviest frying pans. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that we do understand that there is a time, if you will, please, to follow up your shot. When you do the will of God and it doesn't turn out like you thought it should, when you stand up to teach a Sunday school class and you blow it, when you stand up to preach a message and it doesn't come out the way that you want it to come out, when you make a business transaction and you lose your funds, when you try to build a relationship and it doesn't work, when you try to invest your life in someone else and they reject it wholeheartedly, when you try to make your marriage be smoother and better and you shoot and you miss, follow up your shot. Don't give up on it. Don't get discouraged. Some of you think that you're excellent three-pointer shooters, and then you shoot and then you walk away like success is yours to be had. May I say that success might not be yours to be had? Do not have too much confidence in your flesh, because our Bible says that the arm of the flesh shall fail us. Don't think that you know more than you know. Always be going to God and asking God to give you help and asking God to give you wisdom and asking God to give you guidance. Statement number one, I said practice rebounding. Statement number two, stay on the offensive. Statement number three, shoot the ball. Statement number four, follow up your shot. Statement number five, crash the boards. You shoot it, you follow up your shot, and then you crash those boards, if you will. Put it up again. Put it up again. You ever see somebody tip the ball? You're familiar with basketball, aren't you? You ever see somebody tip the ball? Now, I know Brother Smale is excellent in basketball. I've watched him coach and Brother Butler and some of these other guys. And they, you know, they shoot the ball, they follow it through, and then they're just tipping it, tipping it, tipping it, tipping it. What are they doing? They're not even aiming. They're not, they're just tipping it, hoping that that tip will get it in. Now, wait a minute. Sometimes in life, you'll make a decision about your children, and you're not sure, but you know you're in the right direction. You're not 100% sure. I talked to a preacher just the other day, became a pastor of a church, and I said, Pastor, how did you know this was the one? And he said, well, I didn't know. I just kind of hoped. I said, well, what if you were wrong? He said, then I'll just have to make up for it. I said, wouldn't it be better to be sure? He said, yes. Now watch what he said. He said, but I was sitting around, here's what he said, doing nothing. Now, if I was going to be in a church, I would not sit around and do nothing. When I received, look, you know, let me tell you the people that enjoy our church. Let me tell you the people. Let me help you. Can I help you? Is it okay? Not yet this way. Can I help you? Let me tell you the people that enjoy our church is the people that join our church and get right in. Let me tell you the people that don't stay around long. It's the people that come and they think that everybody should come around them. They walk in and they think that I am the king. I am the queen. And they walk in and they think, wow, you know, I've arrived. Don't you notice my presence? And there's an air about them that really is terrible. But you know the people that really enjoy the game is the people that play in it. Is the people that say, hey, what can I do? Can I do something? You don't have to go up to them personally and say, would you please come help with this? You know, the people that really enjoy church is the people that's always volunteering. How can I help with this? What can I do? Hey, I heard that there's a bridal shower. Can I help you decorate? Can I help with that? What can I do? Hey, I heard you got a choir. How do I get in that? What can I do to get in? Mrs. Perez, she amazes me. And we took Brother and Mrs. Perez out soul winning, and then she started talking about the choir, you know. How can I get in the choir? What can I do? And then Brother Perez was my soul winning partner. He said, we did this at our church, and this at our church, and this is our church, and we just kind of just got involved. Well, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I mean, when I was talking to this young couple and you know, she's all excited about this and he's all excited about this, and that's the way it should be. Amen. When I received Christ as Savior, I didn't wait for an invitation. You know, I went to my pastor and I said, you know, heard about the soul winning. Now, by the way, to me, coming from my background, when pastor got up and he said, we're going to have soul winning on Thursday night. Soul winning? That sounds like something that you practice on Halloween. Soul winning. You know, I'm thinking, whoa, soul winning. Whoa. Hey, they do that early around here. But I'm getting, no, I did not dress up for Halloween and go. But I did go. And I showed up, and I was excited because I thought this is something that my pastor got up and from behind the pulpit he was excited about. And if he was excited about it, it must be good because he's a preacher. So it must be in the right direction. And so since he's excited about it and it must be in the right direction, hey, I'm going to do it. And I dove in. You know, there's just something about getting involved that makes all the difference in the world. Come on. Okay, your kid is playing in a game, and they are sitting on the bench. They're part of a team, but they're sitting on the bench. That's why we tell our coaches, that's the volleyball coaches, you make sure that everybody plays, and you get them in there. It's not about winning the game. It's creating character. It's creating teammanship. It's loving and helping and encouraging them along. You know, they're not going to be experts to begin with. That's everybody needs help. Hello. Well, you know, but you enjoy it more when you're in than when you're out. These bus captains, these that go out soul winning, these that teach Sunday school classes, these that sing in the, hey, find a place. Plug in. You plug in and God will begin to grow you and God will begin to help you and you'll be able to find, hey, I'm tipping it. I don't know if it's going to go in or not, but I know I'm in the right place and I'm trying to help the team. That's what I'm trying to do. And so what do? You crash the board. Let me give you just one more statement and I'm done. Then you shoot it again. Just shoot it again. That thing bounces way out in the middle of the court. You run as fast as you can, grab that will of God up, go back in to accomplish hitting that goal that God has for you and doing the will of God for your life, and shoot it again. You know, you don't understand. There's no preacher. Watch this. I used to look at certain preachers. Now, don't get me wrong. We esteem preachers highly around here. They're men of God. They're chosen by God. So we esteem them very highly. When we have pastors that come, like we did for the Baptist Leadership Conference, I say, hey, come on, let's all stand and give them a big Texas welcome. We all stand and clap, giving honor to whom honor is due. I'm all for that. I am all for that. And when they come to preach in our college chapel, we all stand. And you know, preachers go through a hard time. And preachers need to be encouraged. And by lifting up the hands of a man of God, we're helping them to be able to go back to their churches and be able to sacrifice all the more and push all the harder and help people all the greater. So I'm all for it. We'll do that as long as I'm pastor at Parkside Baptist Church. And under my administration, we'll always lift up preachers. But now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. When somebody shoots the ball, whether it's a Sunday school teacher, whether it is a bus captain, an usher, and they fail, give them the opportunity to run after the ball and rebound it and shoot it again. Give them, block for them. Keep those that are the enemy off of their back so that they can get a clear shot and doing the will of God again. Come on, somebody gets up and they flub. They fall. They fail. Maybe in singing a song. And everybody hit the note but the one. And I tell you, the one that missed is obvious beyond compare. Well, you don't laugh at them. You don't go up as a smart aleck after church and pat them on the back and say, boy, I tell you what, that song would have been great if you weren't in it. You don't do that. You encourage them. You help them. Because one day you're going to want somebody to encourage you and help you. Hello? All of a sudden somebody has a failing marriage. You don't go all over our church and talk about them. Did you hear so-and-so? They're having trouble in their marriage. Oh, be quiet. Wasn't for the grace of God and a little bit of wisdom that you have, you'd be having the same problem. Pray for them quietly. Don't criticize them publicly. Help them. Encourage them. Say good things about them. You say, I can't think of anything. Then don't say nothing. Because it'd be better to say nothing than to critique and criticize and hurt and destroy. Little kid comes forward and they say, well, I tell you what, God called me to preach. And they stutter. And you think no way under heaven. But may I remind you who made the tongue? It was old Moses that said, you know, I have a stammering tongue. I can't. And God said, who made your tongue, Moses? You'd be surprised who God will use. Look, can I tell you? I'm done. Here it is. Let me show you something. Let me get one of these boys. Come here, if you will. And we're going to role play for just a little bit. Turn around. Face the people. Look like you're full of pride. Can you do it? Pride. Is that it? Yeah, you got it, son. Okay? Pride. Okay? And so here's a guy. He says, go up here and stand right on the corner up there and do it right because Brother Nash will kick you if not. Okay, pride. Okay? So you got this one. He's just for pride. I mean, you know, let me tell you what I know about the Bible. Let me tell you, you know, that. But he doesn't do nothing. Just pride. Just for pride. And you have somebody else, oh, I don't know, come here if you will, bring your Bible, and just eagerly kind of get up here if you will in the corner, and just you're eager about serving God, you're just excited about serving God, you're just ready to roll, man, you know, you just, all right, now wait a minute, this guy may know more than this guy right here, but this guy right here would get more blessings than this guy right here. Because knowledge puffeth up. Pride goes before a fall. So this guy can walk around and say, well, let me tell you why I am not going to do this, because after all, I know better. He's got the pride, arrogant, cocky, self-centered, egotistical, all about me, I. By the way, that's how come the devil, Lucifer at the time, wanted to overtake the throne of God. He had eye trouble. Just, you know, it's me, man. His halo is placed on his head by himself every morning of the day. And then you got this guy, you know, he don't know much. You know, he's just kind of simple. You know, just kind of like, you know, you can say something and he might not get it the first time, and he might not get it the second time, and he might not get it the third time, but after about four or five times, he gets it. And man, when he gets it, he goes and he does it. He does it. Can I tell you who's going to get the blessing? The doer. Not the thinker. Now, I wish he had both. I wish he had both. But he's teachable and he's not. This guy, you can say, hey, get the ball! Get the ball! Get the ball! He'll get the ball. This guy, well, let me figure out how I can get the ball. Perhaps if I do the math of perhaps if I can jump, perhaps, well, it's too late. Now the ball is down there. Just get involved. Get involved. You know, God uses people. Look, here. Can I show you? Let me show you a difference. Let me show you, and I'm done. I'm going to quit. Here it is. I'm done. When I was in Bible college, there was guys that could outthink me, but there was very few that outdid me. Check out my trail. And because I was a doer of the will of God, when it came time for a church called International Baptist Church to call their youth director in Brooklyn, New York, my phone rang while others sat. God uses busy people. Well, I've got to find the will of God. Think. I got to find the will of God. It'll come to me. And here's a guy, preacher gets up and he says, hey, go soul winning, get yourself a bus route, teach a Sunday school class, be excited about God, read your Bible, pray, work, give it all you've got. God says, ooh, I think I'll make more yardage with this guy. All right, Ahi, bring your basketball. Here we go. Ahi wants to win a game. Man, he wants to win. Closing illustration. Wants to win a game. So he's bouncing back and forth, and man, he is ready. He wants to win the game, and so he's coming back and forth, and so he's going to take and throw it to the thinker real quick, and the thinker just thinks. The thinker just thinks. Ruining my illustration. The thinker just thinks, ho-ho. See, it took him a while to think that through. Then here's this guy, you know, he's over here, he's all excited, you know, and he throws him the ball, and boy, he's ready. Now, he don't know what to do with it. He's got to, okay, which way do I go? And so he asks somebody, which way do I go? Which way do I go? And the guy tells him which way to go. He needs help every step of the way. He needs somebody to guide him. And by the way, most sheep do. The problem with sheep is they try to become the pastor when they're not the pastor. Then they try and think they know more than the pastor. And then they get themselves in trouble because, after all, they're just sheep. Oh, amen. So you throw him the ball, and so he don't know what to do. And so he takes off running, and he says, back here, wrong way. So he throws him back the ball. But at least they're trying to work together. See, now I'm saying this. I'm saying that in your Christian life, simple application tonight, the Bible says that you need to learn to recover. Recover. We're all going to go through the heartache. Man, I'm telling you. When I went, and Brother Edipai went home to be with the Lord, and Brother Bontegal and I went over to their house, and when we left, we just cried all the way back to the church. And it hurt so bad. And I cannot imagine what the family went through. When my brother went home to be with the Lord, come on, man, I just cried and cried and cried. I would go in my bathroom, not because I was ashamed of the tears. It's just I didn't want to be a burden to somebody else. I don't like doing that. So I would go in the bathroom, and I'd just stand there in front of the mirror and cry like a baby. Now, wait a minute. Then I go in the hallway, and I got men coming up to me. That's why I love our church. But I got men coming up to me, and even though I'm their pastor, they're grabbing me and giving me a hug, and they're saying, hey, preacher, it's going to be okay. Now, can I tell you, that's what a church does. We'll take somebody like this and say, hey, look, hey, come on. Hey, it's good that you think. While you're thinking, let's walk a little bit for Jesus, okay? Hello? To try and help them out. Wait a minute. It's good. See, it's good to have somebody like this that says, okay, hey, look, I know you're excited. I know it, man. I can tell you're excited. But while you're excited, let's go this way excitedly. Okay, sit down. But God gives you a Sunday school teacher that knows a little bit more than you do. Gives you a parent that knows a little bit more than you do. Gives you a bus director that knows a little bit more than you do. Gives you a children's church director that might know just a little bit more than you do. Gives you an assistant pastor. Oh, yeah, even a pastor that knows a little bit more than you do. And what do? We'll put you through evasive action. We'll put you through maybe some training to stretch you. When I first became pastor here, I said, and the staff remembers, and some of you that's been here a long time remember, I said, I'm not going to change anything the first year. I'm just going to give you some addendums. You remember that word? We're just going to have addendums. And then all of a sudden, I'd introduce a new program. I'd introduce a new Sunday school class. I'd introduce a new bus route. And I'd say, hey, here's an addendum. We just started adding addendums. And by the way, we've never stopped. And we will never stop. Amen. With the addendums. Now, what do? All of a sudden, there's an addendum, and we take that ball, and we just throw it to someone. And we take that ball, and then we throw it to someone. And we take that ball, and we throw it to someone. We take that ball, and we throw it to someone. If they drop it, what do? Hey, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. I remember when I dropped the ball. I remember when I was a young preacher and I made some very foolish mistakes. I remember that. I remember when I dropped the ball. I remember when I made choices that was not the wisest nor the smartest, and I hurt people because of my pride and stupidity. I remember those days. But I had some preachers that came along and said, "Hey, Mike, pick it up. You can do it. It'll be okay. Just don't do it that way again. Just don't do it that way again. Just don't try that again." You know what they did? They helped me to be able to learn and to be able to grow. Isn't that what a church family does? Don't forget to rebound.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.